I just want to share really about my thoughts around what are we going for, what are we about. You know, in the floods in Marlow that happened a few years ago, lots of people spent a lot of time filling sandbags. And if someone said, hey, why don't you, Dave, why don't you spend a day putting sand in some bags and then we'll sew them up and makes, you know, that's a seriously monotonous, boring task. But if you catch a vision for it, you think, actually, this is going to protect some houses. Suddenly, the task of filling sandbags has purpose to it. You're part of something. And that's essentially what vision does. You know, without vision, the people perish. And I just want to kind of cast fresh vision to kind of go, you know, this is why we're filling the sandbags. Because often, week in, week out, when we're doing the stuff, when we're serving, it kind of you kind of think, what are we a part of? I've spent quite a bit of time just thinking and praying over the summer and over the last year, and this is essentially what I've come up with regards to kind of what we're going for. So, as a community, you know, essentially we're looking to have three main pistons fire, really, which are look, love, live, which Colin so brilliantly came up with, and you know, as a church, we have to find rhythms in our busy lives to look upon the face of Christ. You know, as we give times to pray, as we give time to worship and read the Bible, and as we look to Jesus, we encounter the presence of God, and we're changed and we're transformed, and we have to have that as our number one priority. It's like putting fuel in a car. You know, sooner or later the engine, you know, will run out, and that essentially is what the look is about. And so we have that as you know, as our number one priority as a church. We have to find rhythms to do this, either by ourselves in our own personal lives, you know, reading the Bible by ourselves, or we do it when we gather corporately, or, you know, expressions like dwell. But culturally, you know, what we're going for is we want a culture, as we look, we want a culture of freedom. We want, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We want to be a Spirit-led people. You know, that's where River comes from. You know, it comes from a move of the Holy Spirit. And we want passion. You know, we don't want to be a lukewarm church. We don't want to just sit there and go through the motions and go, hey, we're just going to do today's Bible reading, or it's another session of worship. You know, we want to be a church of just crazy, abandoned lovers of Jesus. And people come into our atmosphere, people come into our environment, and they're like, whoa, man, these guys are passionate. You know, they really believe this stuff. And you know, that's what we want. That's essentially what the culture that we want in look. Love, you know, is essentially love everyone we meet. That is the goal of discipleship. We want to be a discipling community, and the goal of discipleship is to become, you know, again, just radical lovers of people. And we love sacrificially. We love when it hurts. We love when it's difficult. We love in the systems and the workplaces that, you know, God's put us in. We love our families. We love our town. We love our community. We love one another. And we love ourselves. You know, our behaviors start to come into alignment with a way which is self-loving. You know, that is what discipleship is about. That's the goal of discipleship. And that is what we're going for when we say love. We're discipling community. And as a result, we have to have find ways to have the glue, which is what Phil's responsible for. We have to care for one another, care for those who are struggling amongst us, because we're all human. You know, life's tough at times, and you know, we're very fragile, so we have to find ways to care for one another. And we also, discipleship is not just about being, you know, totally on fire for Jesus and totally loving. It's about being intelligent people. You know, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. It's one of the things he says, with all your mind. And so, you know, we want to grow in our understanding of God, and we want to wrestle with things, ethical dilemmas. What do we think about this? What do we think about that? We want to be just approach our faith really, really intelligently as we seek to love everyone we meet. And we want a culture in River Church of being fun. We don't want to take ourselves too seriously. We want to be gracious, you know, gracious towards one another. And we really want to be generous. You know, God is the most generous God in the whole wide world. He gave his only son for us. You know, he's ridiculously open-handed with you know, things and his stuff. And, you know, we're to model that. And so generosity has to be one of our kind of core cultural values. And last but not least, live like heaven is near. Jesus' life's mission and message was about heaven invading earth. And so that is our mission as well. Jesus' prayer is on earth as it is in heaven. So our prayer is in Marlow as in heaven. you know, that is our call, that's our purpose as a church. And so we have to find ways for evangelism, for serving the vulnerable and the broken and, you know, the poor in our town, just for serving people. And we have to find expressions to follow in Jesus' footsteps of demonstrating the kingdom of God, you know, opening blind eyes, seeing the sick healed, seeing lives totally turned around for good by seeing the miraculous displayed. And that's what essentially we're going for. And so we want to be marked by risk-taking, by seeing transformation in lives, but also in our communities, in our community. And we want to be servants. You know, we want to be servants wherever God's placed us. So, you know, if we've got these three pistons operating and firing really well, I think we're going to see a real healthy environment. And you know, we haven't seen this up to this point. I think we've been good as a church at the, in the look area, but I think we've been less good on the love. And with the live, I think we've put in some good missional stuff over the past year or so. You know, when I took over, I really wanted to turn us outward focused, but some of the mission stuff has been yet to pack a real punch, you know, where we've seen some radical life transformations. And I'm really hoping and I'm praying that some of the team additions that have been made will really help start to see those pistons really fire, and we'll start to see look, love and live functioning in the way that it's got the potential to in our church. So what I see is as we begin to become healthy in those three areas, then it kind of creates almost this kind of real cauldron of life. And then from that life, you know, what do we then do? For me, the purpose, our vision, is threefold. For starters, I'd say it's to help every person in and around Marlow discover Jesus, for real. Put your hands up if you think Jesus' love and God's love just means the world to you. Hands up if you think that it needs to be shared with others and it shouldn't be kept to ourselves. Simple as, you know, it's you know, that has to be our number one call, is to get the gospel message out to everyone in a way that's real and in a way that is, yeah, impactful, I suppose. Secondly, you know, Ephesians says that actually we're a temple made of human bricks. You know, we are a church, we are relational, and we're designed, we're wired for relationships. And so part of our call as church is not just to be solely evangelistic, we're actually just to build relationships with one another, with the town, from organisation to organisation, but also from person to person. We're intentionally relational, but ingrained in that is a call to influence culture. Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. So it's in Marlow as in heaven. So we're called to influence the fabric of our town. And, you know, that's what we're kind of going for when, you know, we go for things like Love Marlow and street associations. Jesus says you're to disciple nations. And, you know, I can't disciple England, but maybe we can help disciple Marlow. And that's what it's about. It's about seeing heaven come to Marlow in all spheres of society. It's not in all spheres of the town. And lastly, it's to bring life to the Thames Valley region. This is what God has called River to, River, the network, and to support struggling churches, especially Methodists, believing God has asked River to help revive up to 40 in the next 10 years. You know, over and over again, people have come through River since the really early days, and they've just prophesied separately. They said, we see you as a hub in the region. We see you as a resource church. We see there's something bigger on you guys than just doing local church. And then that kind of was followed up by, you know, for a while, the language was used of, you know, we see a string of pearls down the Thames. There's been that kind of call on River to do something wider. And a few years ago, Billy Kennedy came through, and he basically said, you know, look, Pioneer are working with the Methodist Church nationally. The Methodist Church, very similar to, you know, Pioneer in many ways, especially when it started, is forecasting to close 4,000 churches in the next 10 years. And Billy, who leads Pioneer, said, He felt like God said to him, look, could you believe for 10% of my problem? So that's 400 churches for Pioneer, which is quite a big amount because, you know, Pioneer is a network of only about 100 churches or so. Billy came through and said to River, look, you guys are one of the biggest churches in the Pioneer network. Could you believe for 10% of my 10%? So that's 40 churches for River. And so that's like, you know, that's absolutely ridiculous. But when he said that, when he kind of cast that vision at a leader's day, something resounded in us as leaders. And we thought, you know what, that's kind of God ridiculous. You know, that's so impossible. But maybe it's one of those things that is possible with God. And so we began to restructure at that time. We moved from being River Church with four congregations to River Network with four churches. The week after we did that, the pastor's church over in High Wycombe got in contact with Colin and said, and they were a Methodist church, and they said, look, can we run with you? Can we explore stuff with you? And so right then, right, you know, we didn't want it to be about empire building or, you know, creating this big River brand that takes over in the region. We just wanted to serve God and be obedient to the call of God. You know, it was like, it's almost like right as we made that decision to restructure, this church comes along and goes, hey, you know, we're a Methodist church. Can you help us? Completely out of the blue. And it was like, it feels like God is in this thing. And, you know, when God's in it, it gives you a bit more confidence to go for it. So yeah. And we as Marlow need to play a part in that. And so, you know, that's that for me is what we're to resource, is these three things. That's what I see. Some of the difficulties, you know, there's been a bit more of, well, we've declined in numbers in Marlow. I think it's difficult to assess how much we've declined in numbers because of meeting in the afternoon. Some people just attend a lot less. So there's some people who are like, yeah, I'm totally still part of the church. I love being part of the church. But instead of coming once every week, they'll go like once every 3 weeks because things happen a lot more on Sunday afternoons or whatever. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens as we progress and look to make the move to Great Marlow and back to the mornings. You know, that has been one of the difficulties, partly because of, you know, a whole bunch of children growing up and joining Edge, and there not being loads of kids. People had babies at the time. Our kids' work is now shrunk, you know, so that is a, there's a real, but partly is because of the move to the afternoons as well. We have a serious lack of children. It's really great that Johnny's coming on board, and that's going to be a key thing in looking to rebuild, but it's definitely one of the issues. And we're yet to crack evangelism. I don't think it's just an issue for River Church. I think it's an issue for the church in the UK. But that's been one of our difficulties. I think it becomes disheartening over like many years, you know, when you have like, yeah, prayer for revival, and we're going to see this happen, we're going to see this happen, and yet you're only seeing a trickle of people, you know, becoming Christians, coming to the Lord, lives being totally turned around. You know, that can be kind of a disheartening thing. We've not got to let that kind of discouragement like take root and just kind of accept it and go, oh, that's how it is. You know, that is, that's a dangerous thing. I shared that earlier. I think, you know, up to this point, we've failed, which I need to take responsibility for, on not delivering well enough in the areas of the love and the live, how the look, love, live. So those are some of the difficulties, but there are a whole bunch of opportunities for us going forward. The healing rooms is fantastic. Patrick, respect. You know, that's going to be looking to increase its regularity, which is fantastic. Love Marlow, I think, got off to a good, a strong start. That will probably start to take a direction of the churches using it to be more evangelistic, although the platform of Love Marlow will aim to stay neutral, but the churches within it being more evangelistic, and also us having a much stronger emphasis on social action. Churches working together with the townspeople to do things like gardening for the elderly and stuff like that. So that's a fantastic opportunity. Long term, street associations, again, it's a slow burner, but it's starting to pick up some traction. There's unprecedented church unity in the town at the moment, which is just, you know, God looks at that and he goes, that's something I can work with, you know. So that's a really cool opportunity. I think the moving to Great Marlow with a much stronger presence and work and just being there at MCA, at Marlow Youth and Community Centre, will be a hopefully a much stronger way of building church, back to the mornings, Johnny taking over and Messy Church, that's got huge scope for being a much more kind of effective outreach. With Johnny in the mix, she's just got a real heart to just think, you know, what else could we do to reach families, which she didn't share earlier. The youth work is in a strong place. A whole bunch of them have just left. Heidi's a fantastic youth leader. We've changed the structure. It was kind of like Edge Youth and then two youth clubs with kind of two different teams. So you've got all these different teams doing these different youth clubs. We've basically just merged it all together and said, look, there's youth in Marlow. They're all on a discipleship journey. Heidi, you work closer with Dan. Dan, you work closer with Heidi. We'll have one night of youth clubs, so it's an extra long thing, and then you know, we'll have youth at the youth centre when we move over there. And so hopefully, that is going to create a whole bunch more synergy and togetherness and be more successful, really. Ignite is a real strength of ours and is a huge opportunity. There's a whole bunch of people from around the area, not from River Church, who are assigned onto it. And I don't know if you guys know, but it's super encouraging because we essentially kicked it off with the big year. Pioneer took it on and said, hey, we really love this thing. Can we kind of, we don't like the name, let's call it Ignite. There are now 12 Ignites around the country, one in India, one in starting in South Africa. It's really exciting what's going on. There's just a wave across the place of just people being trained up and just set on fire. Is that right? Did I say that right? Yeah. It's more than that, is it? Fantastic. Another opportunity or another strength of ours is I just think we have such a healthy culture here. I love our culture. I love the fact that just, you know, people are open-minded and we're up for stuff and it's just people are really loving and we're chilled out and we don't, you know, there's so many. I go to other places and I'm like, wow, I love our culture. We did a leaders gathering a few months ago at the assembly rooms and Sarah Fitzgerald from the Anglican team who leads Bissam Church, she came along and she said, you know, I've been to loads of stuff. I've never been to anything like this. And it was something that we just took for granted. People were just walking around, praying, prophesying for one another. There was kind of, you know, reasonably passionate worship, you know, and, you know, she was just totally blown away. And I think we take for granted how vibrant and how healthy our culture is. And sometimes people come, you know, for the first time, like that couple that came in the summer who wrote a letter. Pete read it out a few meetings ago. They wrote a letter of thanks because of, you know, how much they felt loved and how much they were blown away by the sense of the Holy Spirit being there and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, others who come, like Johnny, who we've seen come on the most amazing journey, she came to Kathy's baptism and just started coming to church. And she'd sit at the back and she'd just weep. And she was just overwhelmed by the culture, the love that we have. And guys, that's a testament to everyone in this room. I think, you know, if you're kind of sitting there going, you know, this is great and, you know, what's my role in the church going forward? I'd say one thing is just being a cultural, just helping develop our culture. It takes, you know, everyone doing their bit of just being welcoming, of just being like offering to pray for people, of just being lovely to be around. You know, everyone can bring some of these, you know, cultural things, you know, being free, being gracious, being generous, being a servant, being fun. You know, that's as we all take responsibility for that, we create this life, like, supercharged environment. And environment is such a key thing because, you know, if I stick a tree that's designed for the Mediterranean in my garden, it probably is not going to live. But if I take a tree that's designed for England in my garden, it'll probably do all right. And it's the same like that with people. People come into a healthy environment and they can flourish. Or they can come into another environment, which is a bit like naff, and, you know, they don't flourish or whatever. We've got a healthy environment, and let's do our best to really, you know, cultivate it and guard it. And let's bring our A game when we come on Sundays. Let's not be passive, like, you know, sit there and just go, right, you know, what's in store today? Let's bring our A game. Let's be contributors to what the Spirit of God's doing in our meetings. So what do I see going forward? Firstly, I see a whole bunch of amazing people. I've already said that. I see Look, Love, Live. I honestly believe that as we get Look, Love, Live functioning well, we will see a supercharged, really, really healthy environment. I see that all of that stuff, basically is positioning us for growth. Even though we've shrunk, I think as we do, as we commit to doing healing rooms, as we commit to doing messy church, as we do the youth clubs well, as we do the stuff that we've committed to well, as we shape them so that they become a bit more, carry more of a punch, you know, and we're saying to people, hey, can I pray for you? Or, you know, as we do those things, we are positioned for growth. I've been reading Nehemiah at the moment, and Nehemiah, he's like crying out to God. He's totally depressed because he feel, you know, it's like as if God's abandoned Jerusalem, the walls are collapsed, and it's just like, God, where are you? What about all these promises? You know, you've spoken this over our nation, and yet this is the reality. And often we can have that. We can have, you know, we can look at things through two eyes, like just normal world eyes or kingdom eyes. Nehemiah just feels like he's abandoned by God, just in this random job being a bodyguard for this, you know, king, and his people's been abandoned. Little did he know that God had been positioning him for years upon years to get him into the right place where he'll learn about leadership and being able to lead people. He's have the favor and the open doors and the resources available to him to then go and lead, like, you know, his people into, you know, a move of God, basically. But it wasn't, and the cool thing about it is it wasn't just a move of God. It wasn't God swooping in and doing it. It was everyone just working together as a team. And that really, it really spoke to me. I thought, you know what, on one level, it feels like, you know, God, are you here? Are you with us? And I feel like God's saying, no, I've positioned you. I've been positioning you for a while now for growth in the town. It may not feel like it, but I have positioned you for growth. And like Nehemiah, and like all the people building the wall together, it's a team effort. It's going to take everyone doing their bit. And the reason I think that is because also God has spoken. It's not like this is just kind of a like an airy-fairy thing. Like God has spoken through, I believe, signs and wonders in nature. And I say that, I don't say that like willy-nilly. 2 years ago, I was at the Pioneer Leaders Conference, and the Marlow leadership team got a prophetic word. Just, you know, we were getting like loads of prophetic words, you know, and it was really encouraging. And someone said, you know, oh, we see God moving amazing things in Marlow, and we see Northern Lights. And I was like, okay, fine, cool. And then someone else said, you know, I see the River Thames on the High Street. And I was like, okay, cool, yeah, Spirit of God, you know, burst the banks, all that kind of stuff, you know, prophetic. You just, prophetic people just, they hold on to anything. It's sunny. Oh, let the sun shine. It's raining. Let it rain, Lord. And a year later, I thought, really randomly, I thought, you know what? I'm going to just re-listen to those prophetic words. I'm going to encourage myself. And that very week, I hadn't listened to it since, that very week was the one week in like 50 years or something that the UK had Northern Lights in it. That week was also the week where the River Thames, during the floods, came right up to the park and was right up to the very, very entrance of the park. So the River Thames could not get any possibly closer, bad sentence, to the High Street. God said he's going to do a move of God in Marlow, and he's proved it. He said it through Northern Lights and the river up the High Street. And it's something that, you know, seeing every person, you know, reach for Jesus in the town and discipling a town, all this kind of stuff. On one level, it kind of seems a bit airy-fairy, but I've seen it. It's happening across the UK, in various towns and cities. In Coleraine, in Ireland, Northern Ireland, I went and visited there with Chloe. They've seen around 4,000 people come to the Lord on the streets. At Soul Survivor, they see hundreds upon hundreds of young people become Christians every week. I went down to visit a thing with Keith Graffam. I need to say something about that. Keith Graffam, a couple of weeks ago, an event called Lark in the Park. They're seeing someone become a Christian every single day at that event. We went to get ideas for Love Marlow. They're at the moment also seeing people become Christians every week at church. And they've built in really similar ways to the way that we've been building. They've been sowing into their community. They've been loving people. They've been blessing people. And it's also something which the church, it's just the natural next step for the church. Like, what has God done in the UK church? He's given a massive revelation of the Father heart of God and the love of God. So we hardly ever see, like, you know, people like with signs on their church walls now saying, like, turn or burn. Like, there's been this massive you know, like fresh understanding all across the UK about gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. There's been a massive move around church unity. There's been shed loads of work done in social action and just churches just caring for the needs of the community. Like, we are best positioned, you know, in ages and ages and ages to see people start to come to Christ on a regular basis. It's just like, we just need that kind of consistent idea, entrepreneurial, let's create, let's be creative, let's rethink, let's come up with the ways that just connect with people. And so I just want to encourage all of you, whoever's leading anything in this church, just keep your creative juices flowing. Like, if it's not working, it's not connecting with people, let's reshape it, let's rethink it. And when we find stuff that connects with people, let's go with that. Because it's happening in pockets of the UK, like, loads of people are becoming Christians, and it's just on God's heart. He wants to reach people. He loves them so much. He wants it more than we do, and he wants to use us in this way.
Amen.
Thank you, Andy. And I think it's okay to dream big, because because God is not just interested in this generation. He's interested in multi-generational moves. So we can go, yeah, we want to reach every person in Marlow for Jesus. We in this generation might not see it, but Moses, he never even took the people into the promised land. Joshua did it, but Joshua would have never done it if it wasn't for Moses. So our kids can get a load more closer than we can if we think long term about this. Like I say, I think our culture is really special, and I think we've still got something to offer to this town, which is special and unique and life-giving. So now is the time, I believe, to pick ourselves up, to dust ourselves down. I think it has been a difficult time for us as a church. It's been a difficult 6 months. It's been a difficult time for me personally. I shared about that before the summer, just like losing a whole bunch of confidence. But I think, you know, we've lost a little bit of confidence as a church. And I think, you know, football teams and, you know, people who are, you know, running in races, they fall at hurdles. And the football teams, they lose matches and they have bad seasons and stuff like that. But, you know, it's all about people who can pick themselves up and just go again. You know, you might lose a few matches or you might have a bad season. But what you don't want to do is just throw in the towel. You want to go, you know what, let's come back. Let's go again. God is with us. And he's not going to forsake us, guys. He's spoken over us big promises. I think we need to learn some of the lessons from the last season. We need to get prepared. I think we need to heal any broken relationships. If there are any broken relationships in the room or with people outside the room, let's get them right. Go to people and just say, hey, you know, would you forgive me? You know, we need to be the most gracious, loving, peacemaking people in the area. And if we can't get it right in here, if we can't get it right in our homes, you know, then we just can't do the peacemaking thing on a wider scale. And so let's get our own homes in order, let's get our own relationships in order, let's heal any broken relationships. I've already said that, let's be intentional about our environment. I appreciate I've shared a lot, but this for me is the 2016 strategy. I want us to pursue miracles. What I see is just setting signposts up across the town. I want us to consistently, persistently go after miracles, making space for them in meeting times and just getting out on the streets again and just, you know, go after miracles. There's obviously moving to Great Marlow and NYCC, and, you know, I really, really want to work to make that happen. River LDP, you know, a big part of this, I think, especially the wider thing, is about raising up leaders, and we're going to help. It'll be a river-wide thing, but we're going to set up a river leadership development program to invest in emerging leaders who are coming up, and also invest in our current leaders and really upskill our churches in leadership. So that will be launching in January. Like I described with the youth work, we're going to prune any duplication or whether there's any unnecessary work. One of the things which came through in the survey was that, if, you know, we're a small congregation, we do a lot, and, you know, is that wise? And I think that can easily take the fun out of things. You know, when we get knackered because we're just so busy, it's like you lose the fun. And so there is a real need to look at all the things we're doing and just prune any unnecessary work or duplication. I'm going to look to structure the team and the activity of the team around Look, Love, Live. to strengthen our administration. You know, Stephen Clement was with us as a leadership a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, there are shed loads of good churches with amazing cultures, and so many of them don't grow because they're not organised. And I thought, Flip, you know, that's really good. And basically, you know, me and Chris Nelson have just been doing a shed load of the administration, and it's not sustainable. So if anyone's got administration skills and they want to come on board, you know, that's something which we're going to be looking to really, really strengthen, you know, in 2015, 2016. Really want to connect with new families, with children, as an absolute priority. And I think that will be helped by meeting in the mornings and with Johnny and Messy Church, but we need to look at other ways in which we can do that. It may well be that we need to, like, you know, look at, you know, some of our social gatherings and when we gather as small groups, and just how could we turn those inside out? You know, if we were a church plant and there was like 10 of us and we were going, right, so we're going to start a church, what are we going to do? Right, first off, let's have some socials. Let's see who we can connect with. Let's see who we can have God conversations with. Let's see like who God's on. You know, you're in that kind of proactive kind of mode when you're in a church plant. Whereas when you kind of get to like the size we are, like 80 to 100 or, you know, whatever size that we are, you can easily just kind of get in that kind of backseat mode and go, oh cool, so now I'm here, it's just me and my friends, and you know, we're chilling, and you know. But actually I think, you know, if we want to go to the next level, it requires everyone to kind of, you know, be looking at, okay, what are we doing? You know, who's God connecting with me with? You know, what can we be turning inside out? Is it small group socials? You know, what is it? That is something which I think we need to be really like kind of own. How are we going to reach new families? Lastly, we're going to look, second to last, we're going to look to run trips. School outing. Basically, God's doing cool stuff all over the place. Andrew and Linda have just come back from David's Tent. We just came back from the youth with Soul Survivor. You know, John Richards and Alistair Hanford, and did you go, Anne? They went to Hillsong Conference, you know, packed the O2 Arena. You know, there's shed loads of stuff which is going on. Andy just came back from the One event. There are so many things where God is just absolutely just, you know, just doing the most amazing things. And I think we should just need to go there and just catch some of that stuff together. So we're going to be looking to run trips in this coming year. And also I want to do a kind of an advertising campaign in the town. Just really get ourselves, you know, out on social media, you know, out in the press, or, you know, just get River Church, you know, in people's faces in the town. So if you want to help with an advertising campaign that we can, again, do persistently and consistently, you know, I think that's really important for us. That's the vision. Like I said, it's a team effort. Thank you so much for everything that, you know, you all do. I honour you guys. Essentially, my questions really are, would you recommit to being on this team? What do you feel like, you know, is your role? What's God saying? And then I'd like to pray, just pray for another to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. You know, we're all to be Christians, anointed ones. It's bringing life. Wherever the river flows, there is life. Bringing life wherever we go, into our workplaces, with our families. You know, that's what God's calling us to do, to be anointed ones.